I think is very timely in our society. As you look on your TVs or in your newspapers or even just your day-to-day walks, you will find that family is not something that's that important anymore. The idea of what God said family is not important to people anymore. There's shows that are popping up that show the dynamic of family is a little bit different than the way the scriptures show. And maybe you've never seen these shows, and I hope that you don't. Don't watch them. They're not worth anything. But the show was like the New Norm. It's a show that's come on it where there's two daddies and there's two mommies and where men are married to men and as it is something that's just normal. And so as we talk about this idea of family, as we look at some things this evening, there is no way possible to talk about everything that we need to talk about in two sessions. I have more information that I could ever share with you. So I chose to scale it back and to talk about some things that I find to be important. The youth ministers, those who work with the youth, have started in the last, I would say, 5 to 6 years, started taking a new angle, a new way of looking at youth ministry and it being more of a family ministry. And it is something I have felt from the very beginning as being something important. And the reason for that is what we found is studies show that when their youth minister is put in charge of working with the youth, we get to the end and they fall off. They don't stay with the church. The parents come back and blame the youth minister or the minister. And so where we lack some communication is the need for the parents to be as much, if not more, involved with the teaching of their children than the minister. And now what my job is to do is to help the parents teach their children. And so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, or this evening. When we think about the idea of a vision of the next generation. You see, because as long as God allows us to be on earth, there's always going to be another generation. And I know your concern and my concern and for any of those who call themselves to be true Christians would be the concern that the next generation be as faithful as we are. And as long as God allows us to stay on this earth, that the congregation here would always be here and serve the community and to continue to teach the gospel and to preach the gospel and to reach lost souls, people who are hurting. And that it goes for whether you are a grandparent, whether you're a parent, an aunt, an uncle. I did a lesson one time talking about the family, and after it was all over with, the lady comes to me and says, I've never been able to have children, so I guess that lesson didn't deal with me. Oh, no. Oh, it very much deals with every person at the sound of my voice. Because it takes everyone, it takes aunt, uncle, brother, niece, nephew, whoever, to teach whoever it takes to teach in order for us to continue on with this gospel being preached to the next generation, to the next generation. Look with me, if you will, at Judges chapter 2. The question we're going to ask and answer this evening is, what's going to happen to this next generation? You know, I started off by telling you that the worldly outlook on family is completely different than that of the Bible. If I had more time, we'd look at the two, but we don't. But the way that the world sees the family and the dynamics of a family and the responsibilities of the family is completely different than the way God created it. And God did create us to have family. Or he wouldn't have done it the way he did it. He wouldn't have made provisions like, I will not commit adultery. He didn't do that because he didn't want us to have fun. He did that because he knows what happens when adultery is involved in a marriage. Tears it apart. He doesn't want our families to be apart, so he put in place this law for us, because if we don't have a law, we're not going to do it. This law is to say, hey, I don't want you to commit adultery because of what it does for the family. Just like you put in there, hey, honor your father and your mother. I tell kids all the time, I said, why do you think that's there? Oh, God just doesn't like children. No, he doesn't, because the parent knows better. Now, I am a parent now, and I understand that as a child, I didn't believe that. But now, as I grow older, I see that. We don't know. Children don't know what they need. And God expects for you to tell them, to show them. And so he puts these provisions in, and he shows us how to be a family. But in Judges chapter 2, in verse number 6, some of the verses will be on this PowerPoint, and some of them won't. This will not be really your read this one. Judges chapter 2, verse 6. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went to each his own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. Look at verse 10. When all that generation had gathered to its fathers had died, another generation rose up after them who knew not the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers and had brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods from among gods of the people who were around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord's anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baals. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So they delivered them to the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could not, or could no longer stand before their enemies. What in the world happened? Here is a group of people who God had led through 40 years of wondrous wilderness. They brought them out of Egypt, brought them across on dry land. Here is a group of people, or at least a generation of the group of people, who have witnessed God doing some amazing things for them. Food from the sky, water from the rocks, all of this amazing things. Then along comes a generation that did not know who God was. What happened? Somebody didn't teach them. Somebody forgot to tell their children about the things that God had done for them. Can that happen to us? Is that happening to us? I hope it's not for you. I hope it's not for you, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is in our society. It is in our society. People are not telling their children about God. I have a tract. I've got some extra ones up here that you can come get one after it's all over with. It's called What Teens Want. It's written by Alan Webster. He writes some good tracts. But this tract, I don't normally read tracts to people because I think you can read for yourself, but this is important enough. I want you to hear it. So if you don't get one, at least you hear this part of the story. In this track, it's really cool. It's got some things that might look different than that. It's been updated. But anyway, it's got some ideas of some different things. But at the end, it says there's a parable Jesus never told. I want you to listen very carefully. Once upon a time, there was a church looking toward the future. So they were concerned for the spiritual welfare of the youth growing up in an immoral, decayed age. They began to plan how to create a thirst for righteousness among their children and fortify their faith to be able to withstand the devil's onslaught. First, they determined that they needed a strong Bible teaching program. Sounds good enough, right? The scriptures produce faith that cleanse a young man's way, defeat the Satan's temptations, provide answers for the big questions in life. The church would be knowledgeable, capable, caring teachers for their youth classes, so they began to look around for some good teachers. Well, one says, well, I don't want to leave the fellowship of my adult class to teach children. But the drug pusher says, not even the threat of jail will keep me from working with your children. Another person replied, I don't have enough knowledge to be able to teach children about God. But the evolutionist went to college to learn how to teach children that there is no God. Another replied, young people today, they're so different, I'll never be able to keep their attention. While movie producers said, we'll study, survey, spend millions to produce whatever turns kids on. So they moved to the second phase. The planners recognized that teachers cannot educate if the children are not there. So they determined to talk with the parents about making a commitment to have their children in every Bible class. Surely this would be easier, because after all, the parents' great responsibility is the child's spiritual welfare, right? Some parents excuse themselves saying, well, we're out of town too often on the weekends, and everyone's tired on Wednesdays. Another said, two classes a week, that's too big of a commitment. The same parent who had committed to have their children at school 5 days a week. Fashion designers, the cosmetic companies continue to pump millions to teach children to emphasize the outward man and dress in an outwardly fashion. So they moved to the third phase. The planners decided that it would help if they had devotionals, youth meetings, and Bible bowls, retreats, and other outings for their youth. This would require adults to volunteer their homes, drive from place to place, fix snacks, give themselves. But it's for a good cause, they thought. Young people are important. The church leader said it's too expensive to pay for speakers, provide Bibles, literature, food for so many. It just costs too much. But the beer cigarette company said, we'll advertise on every radio and TV station. We'll entice for billboards and magazines. It pays to advertise. Some complained, we're too busy to fool with the youth activities. Let them find their own things to do. We don't want to be bothered. But school organized events for them to be at. Others said, I don't want to chaperone teen youth meetings. Gas is too expensive. Plus, I have to consider the wear and tear of my vehicle. Plus, I try to go to bed early. While the casino operators promised to shuttle people from every convenient location all over the city so they could have the opportunity to gamble. Another told them I couldn't host a devotional at my house. Those little monsters might break something. Plus, it would be a lot of trouble to clean up when it's all over with. The city provided a rock band at the Civic Center to entertain the youth and provide city cleanup crews after it was all over with. So the adults stayed in their adult classrooms. Young people slept in, parents stayed busy until their children got grown, families went out of town on weekends, and the youth group was inactive. But the drug dealers, the porn salesmen, the movie producers, the gamblers, the schools, the tobacco and liquor manufacturers, they worked hard, spent money, did what was necessary to win, and the impressionable minds of the kids, and they gained great success. Now, maybe I lost you. Come back in. I really want you to hear this. The planners were reminded of Jesus' parable of the unjust steward. In it, he said, the children of this world are the generation, and in their generation, wiser than the children of light. Luke chapter 16, verse 8. One Sunday came when the adults wondered why the youth classes were empty. Some complained this church was dead, nothing but grandkids around here. Parents wondered why they could not get their children to go to worship. Others asked, what has happened to this younger generation? I have read this probably 10 times to people, and it gets me every single time. Because this right here is a look into our church as a whole. We often have great intentions. Great intentions to do great things, but then when it comes down to actually doing them, we fail because we don't want to be taken out of our comfort zone. We don't want to have to give up some things in order for it to happen. And maybe it's money, maybe it's time, maybe it's your home. Family ministry is important. Mark Holman wrote a book called Building Faith at Home. I know nothing else about this book other than what I'm reading to you tonight, okay? So if the rest of the book is garbage, then I'm sorry, I didn't know what it was, okay? But I got this part out of it. He did a survey. And in this survey, he says that most Christian parents do not believe that they're doing a good job in facilitating the spiritual development of their children. And then he supports this statement with a survey, as we're going to look at, that was taken to show how weak in communication our faith is. He says 12% of our youth have a regular dialogue with their mother on a faith-life issues. 5% of you have a regular dialogue with their faith father on faith and life issues. 9% of our youth have experienced regular reading of the Bible and devotions in the home. Alright, so we see in 12, 5, and 9%. Let's look at it this way. This has a bigger impact in my mind at least. 88% of our youth do not have a dialogue with their moms on faith issues. 88%! 95% of the youth that have a dialogue with their dad's own faith issue. 95%. And then 91% of the youth do not have regular Bible and devotions in their homes. This is a sad statement. A sad survey, because what it shows is that there's a lack of concern in the home. For your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, whoever it is, your neighbor. And we talk about evangelism. And we talk about reaching out to our young people that are in our communities. And I'm all for that. But I believe, just like in every other evangelistic, we can't be evangelistic until we got ourselves right first. Until we make sure that our children are taken care of. See, what happens sometimes, and even among ministers, is we neglect our own children to go out there, because out there, that's where there's one that needs to be saved. When we have someone sitting right next to us that needs that attention, that needs that faith discussion, that needs that Bible study, that needs that prayer, that needs that opportunity to share God's message. Until we work with our own family, that's why family ministry is so important to them. Until we deal with our own families, we're in trouble. Let's move on. I've got many things I want to talk about tonight. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Then we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, when we look about the idea and understanding of this teaching that needs to be done at home, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart." We've heard that before, haven't we? In the New Testament, the book of Matthew. "With all of your soul, with all of your strength, with these words which I've commanded you, it shall be in your heart." Listen to this. It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." What is he asking us to do? To teach them. "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart." He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk with them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Is there a time in there anywhere that the discussion should not be done? He brings it all together. Before then, you go away thinking, "I'm mad." I'm not mad. I'm passionate. I get loud. I'm sorry. This is serious. We're not joking here. We're not playing. This is not playtime. This is serious stuff that's going on in our society. Until we wake up, it will not change. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. "Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So based upon the scriptures that we just read, all three of these scriptures, we learn that we should train our children in the way of the Lord so when they grow old as adults, they'll be Christians and they won't leave. He said, well, Greg, I've got children that aren't faithful to God. The scripture says you teach them, and I did the best I could to teach them. I did everything I could. So what is he saying? Is he lying? Is God lying and saying, well, I taught them the best I could, and they're gone. They're not faithful to God. Sometimes our children are going to stray away. It's going to happen. And they're going to stray away from the Christian principles that you taught them. But we also see in the scripture a prodigal son. Remember, he strayed away too. And when the rubber met the road, I like that phrase. When it got time to make a decision on what he was going to do, what did he do? He returned home. Why? Obviously, some principles were being taught.